If you're a human being here this morning, you will find it hard to get to know the real God. It's difficult for human beings to really know what God is like, and we end up with wrong pictures or slightly skewy pictures so easily. Some people think God is not there. Some think he might have created the world but then has gone away like an absentee landlord. Some think that God is there but he's not all that involved in our lives, a bit like a father who doesn't really know his kids all that well. Well, the story of the Bible presents a very different picture. It tells us that not only did God create the world, but he came into the world himself. I mean, when you've been in church, you just take that for granted. But it's an extraordinary thought to think that God actually came into the world as Jesus Christ, and that he then remains intimately involved with people, inviting us to know and love him and to be part of a large and growing family. That's the story of the Bible. It's an extraordinary story. And the Bible tells us that God actually wants a family. And that's why we're here. Part of the reason we're on earth is that God wants children. You'll find an outline of this sermon on the back of Contact if you'd like to follow what I'm about to say. Now, you can either be born into a family or adopted into a family. None of us human beings are born into God's family. We are adopted into God's family. As the Apostle Paul says, we are his sons and daughters through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, and we're adopted as those sons and daughters. Every single person who wants to put their faith in Jesus Christ is adopted into God's family. Now, that's an amazing truth, I think. You know, when I walk through the streets of this suburb or these suburbs, what I commonly see is closed doors. And as I walk past someone else's home, I know that I'm not allowed to go in there. That's not my home. I don't have a key to the door. And if I was to go there, I would have to be invited by the person who owns the house. But with God, it's quite different if you follow the picture. God's door is always open, and he says anyone who wants to come in is welcome. And the key, if you like, is Jesus Christ. God says, I want a big family, and you're all welcome. Now, once you understand and get started on God's first purpose for your life, which is to know and love him, then the second purpose is to know and love God's family. For some people, the first purpose is easier than the second purpose, because it's easy to sort of love God in some sort of abstract way, much more difficult to love the person who's sitting next to you who's singing slightly out of tune. So our second purpose in life is fellowship. And simply put, that is loving God's family, loving your spiritual family. That's our second purpose in life. Now, how do you actually do that? That's what I want to look at this morning, and I want to describe four aspects of fellowship. The first aspect is what I might call membership. That's when you choose to belong. So membership is choosing to belong. And that happens when you find a branch of God's family, a local church family, and you choose to get connected to it. When you choose to belong to a local church, you go from being a visitor to being a member. You belong, and you stop calling it the church, and you call it my church. When you were born, you automatically became part of the human race, but you have to choose to belong to the family of God. That doesn't happen automatically. Some people might say, I believe in Jesus, but I'm just not interested in going to church. Well, that doesn't make sense, because the church is where you express, where you learn, where you develop your belief in Jesus. That's like saying, I'm a football player, but I just don't want to be part of a team. It doesn't make sense. Jesus in the New Testament calls the church his body. And so if you say you love Jesus but don't want to go to church, it's like saying, well, I love you, but I hate your body. Now, which one of us would like to say that to Jesus? The Bible tells us that in Christ, we who are many form one body and each member belongs to all the others. Romans chapter 12, verse 5. That'll be our memory verse for this coming week. We are members together. We are each like a part of the body, all linked together in this new family that God has created for us. There are some people here today who have made this choice to belong. Many of you have, and you've done that sometimes in the far distant past. But about once a term, Ginny and I hold a welcome and information gathering in our home for new and newish people at St. Alfred's who are exploring whether this is where they would like to belong. And at that afternoon, we get together and I explain a little bit about St. Alfred's and I invite them to explain a little bit about themselves. And it's a great afternoon of meeting one another. And at the end of it, I say to them, please pray and ask God if this is the church that he's directing you to belong to. And if they choose to belong, I then ask them to sign a membership covenant to ratify it, to formalize it, if you like. And I say to them that I don't personally mind if you choose after this gathering to go somewhere else. That doesn't worry me. As long as you choose to go somewhere and belong to that church. And if it is St. Alfred's, then let's formalize it for yourself and for us. Just don't drift around. Now, for some people, that process of visiting, thinking, praying, wondering if this is the place God wants me to be, that can happen quite quickly. They have a sense that, yes, this is where I'm to be, and it takes them no time to sign up and get involved. For other people, it can take quite a long time. For some, it takes a long time simply because the form, the membership covenant, just sits on the desk for a while. They're here in their heart, but they just haven't formalized it. But for others, it does require a bit more reflection, and they go off and visit other churches, and I tell them to go and do that and pray that wherever you go, that you have a sense that this is where God wants you to be, and then join in. Don't sit on the sidelines. Now, I'd like to welcome some new people who've become members of St. Alfred's over the last, well, I'll say over the last 12 months, but it probably extends further into the background for one or two people, because they've only just signed the membership covenant in the last 6 to 12 months. And I'd like to invite you, if your name is in contact in that list of new members, would you come out to the front, please? And I'm going to give you a signed copy of the membership covenant, and then we're going to invite the congregation to welcome you. So if your name is there, you should have received warning of this from me. See, we'll see how well the organisation goes. So you come up. Let's welcome all of them. So if you're here this morning and you're new or newish and you'd like to become a member of St. Alfred's, the next time we're going to do this is on August the 30th at our place, and the details are in contact. And please just let me know if you'd like to become a member of St. Alfred's. Now, that's the first level of, or first aspect of fellowship that I'd like to talk to today. That's about belonging and membership. And many people can belong, but there are other aspects to our fellowship that I'd like to draw our attention to, and one of them is about learning to share. Right from the first meetings of the early church, Christians have shared with each other. The Bible says that all the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as they had need. That's right at the beginning of the church. Now notice two things that they do here as they express their new faith in Jesus. One is they meet together, and the other is they share with one another. And that becomes a characteristic of God's family right from the start. Later in the New Testament, we find that not everyone sells everything, but they use what they have to support both fellow Christians and Christian leaders. They share their possessions, their homes, their money, and themselves. One thing, therefore, I'd like to encourage us to think about is sharing our homes. They don't have to be perfect homes, whose is, They just have to be open. The door has to be open. Now, why is it important that we share our homes? I'll tell you why. It's because you cannot share much fellowship in a crowd. You do that mostly in homes or on a one-to-one basis. This might come as a surprise, but I need to tell you that on Sundays, you won't experience much fellowship. You might experience a little bit more today if you stay for the barbecue, but on most Sundays, you won't. We can celebrate together, worship together, learn together, but we won't do a lot of fellowshipping together. That's a misconception because there are just too many of you. St. Alfred's is now made up of 460 members or so who come from 39 postcodes and meet in three congregations. That's a lot of people to relate to, isn't it? So you can't really develop deep relationships and meaningful relationships only if you rely on Sunday gatherings. It just won't happen here. So it'll only happen in smaller groups where you can meet and talk and share your lives together, and most of that happens in homes. A primary purpose of a small group is to encourage one another. I meet through the week with other clergy to encourage each other in ministry. But Christians need to meet together to encourage each other in life. Look at what it says here in the New Testament book of Hebrews. Let us not give up the habit of meeting together. Instead, let us encourage one another. Now, some of you have begun meeting in small groups during this 40 days period, and I hope you don't give up meeting like that, because you will all need encouragement, and some people will need you to encourage them. So smaller groups is where that happens. A group I'd like to thank today are the hosts who've opened up their homes to allow us to come in and be part of a 40 Days of Purpose small group. If you're a host or a leader of one of those groups, would you just kindly stand where you are seated? Just stand up. Let's thank all these people for opening their homes to us. Thank you. Now, if you're here this morning and you're still not in a group and would like to be, then it's not too late. About next week, I'm going to start saying it is too late. But today, it's not too late. And you can speak to Don Stott after the service in the foyer if you'd still like to join in. Homes are great places to get to know one another, to show hospitality. So whether you're in a small group or not, please share your home. And don't make the mistake of thinking, I've only been at this church 3 months. I can't possibly ask anyone. There must be people here who do that sort of thing. Don't wait for someone to invite you. You do the inviting. Be brave, take the initiative, and invite someone. It will really deepen your relationships and friendships when you share your home, because you'll be sharing part of yourself as you do that. Let's look at the third aspect of fellowship. In every family, there are family responsibilities, and everyone has to do their part. So a further aspect of fellowship is doing my part. This is the same in God's family, where every one of us has a part to play. The Bible is filled with the fact that we're to work together. We're to serve one another, love one another, pray with one another. 58 times in the New Testament, it uses that language of one another to encourage us to be mutual, to look after and help and share with one another. That's what love in action looks like. Throughout the New Testament, Christians are called partners in the gospel, or fellow workers. So we are colleagues and fellow workers and partners with Christian leaders and other Christians as we work together to do what God has called us to do. And together we share the load and exercise the responsibilities of being members of God's family. Now, we'll look more at that in a couple of weeks' time, but today just I want to simply say to encourage you that everyone has a part to play. No one is redundant in God's family, and it doesn't really matter what age you are. I think our oldest member of St. Alfred's is in her 90s, and she tells me that she's still got work to do because she's still alive because God has got work for her to do. So it doesn't really matter what age you are. God still has you in his family for a purpose. In Ephesians chapter 4, we're told that the family grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. The each part is you and me, and as we work together, we will get things done that God wants us to do. Now, when we do this, three things happen. Well, at least three things happen. We get more done than if only one person did it, like the minister, or if only a handful of people did the work. Secondly, we feel really good because we're involved in doing something that we think God wants us to do, and we couldn't do it on our own. It really actually makes us feel good doing that. And then thirdly, we deepen our relationships with the people we're working with. We actually get to know each other, and particularly for blokes, when you work together, you actually get to know each other more than if you just stood out on the sidelines and didn't get involved. So I'll just finish on that section by saying perhaps there's something practical you could do either for the church or another church if you belong to another church, if you're a visitor, or your small group this week. If there's something practical you could do, some part you could play, some need you could meet, maybe God will direct you and just do it. Let me finish by looking at a fourth aspect of our fellowship, which is about loving one another, being committed to one another. And this involves being willing to sacrifice for the good of somebody else. And we're told in the New Testament it's like this. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. Now, this is the deepest level of fellowship, as we give of our lives for the benefit of someone else, to bless someone else with nothing. We don't want anything in return. We just want to be a blessing to someone else. And it's an expression of love. It involves sacrifice, sometimes of time, sometimes of money. It involves putting someone else's interests before your own and seeking their good. And when we do that, we are showing or expressing the love that Jesus has shown to us. Now, in some parts of the world, as Bill prayed earlier in the service, there are Christians who are actually laying down their lives. But in safe suburban Melbourne, we don't have to do that. We are not persecuted for our faith. So how do we actually do this? How do we lay down our lives for one another? Well, one of the ways we do that is supporting one another when we're in need. When someone in the family is in deep need, it may be that you can put other things aside, leave them aside, lay them down, if you like, to go to help, to assist, to encourage. When times are really tough, that's when we need to know that we have brothers and sisters in Christ who will support us. Now, today I'd like to introduce a family who've had some experience of this and get them to tell you a little bit of their story to give it so you can see a picture of what this looks like. So I'd like to welcome the Kearns family to come up and be with me here. Would you welcome Daryl and Janet and Andrew? Daryl and Janet and Andrew, you've been members of St Alfred's here for, well, Janet says for about 20 years, and it might be different for the boys. And you live locally, and Andrew is your only child. And Andrew, how old are you?
16 and 3 days, 4 days.
So Andrew turned 16 during the week. Now, this past year has been tough because of something that's happened to Andrew. Janet, would you like to tell us what that has involved?
In August last year, Andrew came to us and said he felt a pea-like lump in his left shoulder, and our local doctor immediately referred us to the doctors at the Peter MacCallum Institute in the city. Following scans, MRIs and tissue biopsies that took a couple of months, this led to a proposed diagnosis of a malignant tumour known as fibrous sarcoma. Surgery followed quickly and the diagnosis was confirmed with the pathology testing. Andrew was discharged home from the surgery on Christmas Eve to enjoy Christmas with the St Alfred's family of ours and our family and the summer holidays. Andrew's wound healing was quick. His stitches were removed on the morning of the camp, the CMS camp down at Phillip Island called Summer Under the Sun, and Andrew could fully participate in the camp. In February, the medical teams from Peter MacCallum Institute and the Royal Children's Hospital advised us from pathology advice that radiotherapy and further surgery would be a good idea. And of course we accepted that medical advice. Andrew received 6 weeks of radiotherapy treatments through March and April. And then in June, Andrew underwent further surgery. Again, Andrew's wound healing was very quick, and that enabled him to participate very quickly in the youth activities, such as going bananas. 2 weeks ago, Andrew received the news that his recent scans and MRIs were clear. Andrew will continue to have tests each 3 months under the Peter MacCallum care. So we have a lot to praise God.
This is pretty close to the heart, so we're just going to see how we go through this. Daryl, how has this past year been for you?
when we first got the news back in December, it was a very emotional time, a whole mixture of emotions and feelings, the predominant one being fear, wondering what the journey ahead would bring. But it was also a time when I was just amazed at how well our son was taking it all. We would fall to pieces, but Andrew didn't. He showed a level of maturity for a 15-year-old. In fact, for anybody, he showed a level of maturity that I was just so proud of. I don't think I would have been quite as mature as that at the age of 15, as what Andrew showed. And he by that level of maturity, he helped us get through it as well. And it was just such a scary time. We know that we're not the only family in this St. Elf's family that's been through something like this. But the word cancer is something which tears at your heart.
Daryl, we'll let you rest. Andrew, what's it been like for you?
Well, I guess the hardest part is just realizing that, like, I had cancer and I didn't realize it would be able to happen to me. But I guess, also it's been hard because I've had to miss out on things like going to Germany, like as an exchange group thing. But I guess, the worst bit was just realizing that I had cancer and sort of a bit of a shock.
Now, through this past year as a family, you've been part of St. Alfred's and small group and all sorts of things. Would you like to just explain how your family at St. Alfred's has helped you?
The St. Alfred's family has just been unbelievably helpful. The feeling of love that we have all felt has just been overwhelming. People have visited us. People have provided us with casseroles and all sorts of support and love, and that has been a wonderful revelation to us. I mean, it's not something that we shouldn't have expected, but to see the reality of that really hit home, and I think we're all very touched by seeing that happen to us. It was a tough time, and the journey's not quite over, but there'll be ongoing issues, the scans and so forth, but for the bulk of it, we have no reason to believe that the future won't be good. And the feeling of love that's come from this wonderful group of people And that's really helped us get through all of this.
Thanks, Daryl. Andrew, how have you experienced it?
Yeah, St. Alfred's has definitely been very supportive, and I've been overwhelmed by the casseroles and cards given and emails and all that stuff. But also just feeling accepted and being able to talk to people and just have normal conversations and being friendly and stuff. Mm. But also prayer was a big part, because I think my faith has actually been strengthened through all this, prayer. I knew that without God, this certainly wouldn't have been able to recover as quick. Mm. The people at the hospital were amazed, and I think it's been an awesome experience, actually, surprisingly.
Thanks, Andrew. Janet, how have you experienced the support of St. Alfred's over this past year?
Yes, well, when the diagnosis was suggested in December, close friends and family within St. Alfred's prayed with us, and at our request, they informed key members in the pastoral care team, and that was invaluable. I was very blessed by several visits from Ginny McPherson. Ginny came and gave me guidance with my questions of faith. She prayed with me, and she prayed for Daryl and Andrew and I, and that was really strengthening. She also suggested listening to a series of talks by Graham Cook, which I've just about worn the CDs out. And as further members of our St. Alfred's family became aware of our situation, we've been just surrounded by love and kindness, which has been strengthening for us. We've been inspired by members of our family to read the Bible. We've been given selected verses to read, and that was fantastic. So we actually feel that our family at St. Alfred's has brought us closer to God, Jesus and the Holy Spirit. We've received care in the form of hampers and casseroles, as Andrew said, and that's been fantastic, because it was an extremely busy time attending medical appointments and doing what we had to do for Andrew. And so that was really welcome, and we're so grateful. We also found prayer very comforting. We asked for prayer, and we didn't ask in a timely manner. We asked with 5 minutes notice. And we were so blessed that Ruth McIntosh, Don Stott, and Bev Churchwood, at a moment's notice, were available. So we thank God for allowing them to be available. It was just what we needed. We've continued participating in the church, singing and praising God. On these occasions, we've received prayer and support. And there were many, many occasions of that prayer and support. Just one of these moments was when we were aware that Andrew would not be able to go on his exchange trip with the school to Germany. And we have friends in our St. Alf's family who are teachers, and they were so reassuring about what this might mean for Andrew. We've been very blessed. Jane DeLuca, who, being a mother of five, almost six children, gave up her time on Boxing Day and at other times to dress Andrew's wound. Judy Rubino came on the morning of surgery with the hugest bunch of flowers and music CDs that had a Christian message for Andrew and for all of us. Sarah Dane gave us Bible verses that were very uplifting and prayed with us. Our friends within the church family have invited me to go for a cuppa with them, and that's been wonderful. My small group has prayed with me, sung with me, and read the Bible with me, and that's been fantastic. It's just been great to have Christian friends to be with. We believe the prayer chain, the healing services, all the supportive phone calls and all the email traffic has been really helpful for us. I received prayer support at the women's weekend at Phillip Island that has really carried me. Past members of St Alfred's who are now serving elsewhere, they've also contacted us, made time to be with us, had us to their home when their time's been difficult, and we've just felt that that's been fantastic for all of us. So we feel that the kindness and the love shown through our family at St Alfred's has brought us closer to God, Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So Daryl, Andrew and I have so much to thank God about with our family at St Alfred's. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Andrew would like to apologise because he's going to drag his mother and father away because he's going to the RMI Open Day to think about his future. See ya. The Apostle Peter, one of Jesus' earliest followers, said, "Love one another deeply from the heart." That's what it's about, isn't it? We were made to relate to one another, to care for one another, to look after one another. Life is not about accomplishments, it's about relationships. You're put on this earth to know and love God and to know and love your brothers and sisters in Christ. So I want to finish by just asking you to reflect on the things that I've been saying today. Let me ask you some questions. Have you made peace with God and put your faith in Jesus? That's the first step of becoming one of God's family. And if you haven't done that and would like to do that, then please come and see me after the service and I'll happily talk to you and pray with you. Have you decided to belong to a church, whether it's this church or another one, or are you still sitting on the sidelines? Is now the time to make that commitment? Are you sharing your life and your home with others? Are you playing your part by serving and helping others? And are you developing the loving, supportive relationships that will sustain you in life and last into eternity? The sort of relationships that Andrew and Daryl and Janet have been blessed by over this last year. That's true fellowship, loving God and loving his family. As I close, let us pray. I'm going to put a prayer up on the screen, give you time to read it, and if you feel comfortable, I allow you to pray that yourself quietly to God, and then I'll close in a moment with a prayer for all of us. Dear God, I want to be part of your family, and I want to learn to love my spiritual family just like you do. Forgive me for taking it casually. Today I'm choosing to belong. I'm not going to float around anymore. I want to learn to share and make time to develop real friendships. I want to do my part in the family of God. I want to learn to love other believers like brothers and sisters. Teach me the meaning of real love. In your name I pray. Amen. Father God, next to salvation, the greatest gift you have ever given us is the opportunity to be a part of your family. Thank you that we don't have to go through life disconnected, isolated, lonely. Thank you for creating the St. Alfred's family for all of us to be part of. In Jesus' name. Amen.